Good morning. Good morning, everyone. As part of just being able to celebrate and work together as a family to impact our teens, one of the things we're going to do is we're going to share a lesson that the teens got to hear at teen camp. And the theme this year at teen camp... was Infinity Wars. Infinite impossibilities. Infinite impossibilities is what we deal with when we live in the consequences of our sins. Infinite impossibilities is the infinite amount of nothing that we can accomplish when our sins weigh us down. It says in Romans chapter 6, verse 8, "Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him." In Christ, we get to have life. And without him, we are in chains. We are trapped. It reads on in Romans 6, "In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies so that you obey its evil desires." Sin reigns in our bodies. But I think a lot of times, if it's easy to experience a moment of sin, and then when the moment's gone, think that the sin no longer affects us. And that because we don't see it or we don't feel it, that it's gone. But I wanted to demonstrate a physical illustration of the spiritual reality that we are all in when sin weighs us down. You know, it's interesting. Sin can be tricky and it can be deceptive. How thick do chains need to be to trap us? A lot of times we can measure our sin by big sins or small sins. But at the end of the day, whether small or large, we're unable to break free of these chains. How thick do chains need to be to trap a mighty beast like an elephant? You know, actually, elephants are trained. Even though they end up being 11 tons, right? Roughly the weight of three cars. They're trained at an early age with heavy chains, and then as they age, the chains are removed, and so they can be bound down by something as simple as a rope, because they're taught at every moment of resistance, they can't break free. I think sin can trap us in that same fashion. Sin becomes trickier and trickier at each stage of life, as the years progress. And you can see how powerful the elephant is in relationship to this car, and it can easily break free of the chains. But yet, again, a simple rope can bind an elephant that's been trained by its bondage. I think sin trains us as well. It teaches us that we can't break free. And whether you see your chains or not, I believe that we feel them. We feel the bondage. I think we're bound by pieces of glass in front of us, digital signals, trapped in a screen. We can be trapped by social media, stuck with the need for attention, weighed down by the desperation to be noticed. We can be enslaved by entertainment. Though we think we're playing, but they're playing us. Trapped by, again, entertainment, the need to be satisfied, the need to be satiated visually. And the stimulus grows and grows to all the different ways that can distract us and weigh us down. Sports, TV, entertainment, movies. These things are meant to be enjoyment, but they can enslave us as well. There's the trap of pleasure. Pornography can trap us.
And though we might look for it for pleasure, it can hold us back, keeping us coming back even though we feel ashamed and not wanting to do it again.
Peer pressure. Pressure coming from every side, pushing on us, calling us and demanding for us to change and be different can enslave us.
And oftentimes the enslavement can be as simple as our smile.
We're trapped by our own emotions, masks that we wear, unable to truly display who we really are and where we really are,
trapped by even the need to feel like everything's always fine. Our emotions can lash out and hurt, and we can be enslaved equally by our anger, our frustrations. And though it brings a moment of pleasure as we lash out and react in our anger, it always brings shame and regret.
We can be trapped by our sorrows, our sadness, our losses.
And depression, even though it's a serious and a real thing, it can somehow become our identity.
And we can be trapped in our sadness, unable to break free.
Or in our confusion, as decisions face us.
It can be difficult for us to weigh out.
We can be trapped by our successes. We can be trapped by our failures. Some of us here are weighing out whether or not we want to be Christians. And we're afraid of the responsibility, or perhaps afraid of the success, or afraid of the failure. What happens if this doesn't work out? And these things can enslave. And though we're meant to be mighty, a simple chain, a small rope can hold us back. It says in Romans 6:13, "Do not offer any part of yourselves to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and every other part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness." You know, the word offer is a religious word. It's a ceremonial word, a word of worship, in the sense that we can bring offerings to the altar or to the temple. You know, and in our sin, I think we can offer ourselves to God, but we can also offer ourselves to sin. And what does that mean? But that we can worship sin. We can value it. We can believe that it's what we really want. And sin, doesn't need to be this big monumental event. It can be small things we do again and again and again. The little acts of worship. The little acts of affection towards our sin. But we do have an option to offer ourselves to righteousness instead. But it isn't always the terrible things or the negative things that trap us. I think sometimes it's good things. Popularity can enslave. But if you've ever fought to be popular, fought to be noticed, you always know that there's someone more popular out there. There's always something that someone else does that's better than what we can do. And that striving for excellence, those unrelenting standards can enslave us. I think our friendships enslave us. And friendships are meant to be wonderful. But yet, as friends disappear and make different choices, it can affect what we choose to do. And as our friends decide to leave God, or maybe our friends decide to choose lifestyles that we're unsure of, it affects our decisions. And then our loneliness becomes the chains that trap us. What are the chains that hold you down? What are the chains that trap you? Sometimes it's fashion. Our clothing, meant to protect and shelter us, but somehow becomes our master, our wardrobe never becomes enough, and our appearance becomes paramount. It's easy for the striving for athletics. If you're an athlete, to think that this is the end all. If only I can be better. If I can just reach the next level. But if you've ever reached the next level, you know there's another level. And if your excellence and your ability doesn't enslave you in its own work, then age will. And will reveal to you that you can't keep this up. We think that reaching the highest level of success in our athletics or perhaps in our physical fitness may answer the question, but it's insatiable. It never ends and always hungers for more. Or perhaps it's education. Our knowledge is meant to rescue us and free us and help us to reach new levels, accomplish different things, but it can enslave us as well. Because there's always somebody that knows more. And information is always growing and increasing. It's never satisfied. And your degree, years from now, will never be enough. But yet we give up everything for it. Or perhaps it's the home. But every homeowner knows
that everything's always breaking.
Purchasing a home is enslavement in itself. But yet we fight so hard to protect this, that this thing that's always deteriorating and falling apart.
We give up so much. We sacrifice so much
to preserve this image. Or perhaps money. But even with some of the most wealthiest people, Steve Jobs, at the end of his days, wished that he could have just spent more time with his family.
The man probably with some of the greatest wealth in the world. But wealth and the striving to have this can enslave us and hold us back. Relationships, the desperate desire to find an other.
Romance can be our master and cause us to shift from what we
are, our own identity, in unhealthy ways, causing us to let go of healthy friendships or healthy pursuits, convictions that we have.
We're desperate in times, and this can become our master. Marriage, a wonderful institution, a beautiful thing that God has created, but if we're not careful, we can serve it as well, and it can enslave.
Our calendars, our organization, time itself becomes a master to us if we're not careful. Because it slips through our fingers and we do everything we can to get more of it back.
For some of the teens, they realize that camp enslaved. Because
camp, as wonderful it is, as amazing it is,
it became this trap that only in this one week in all of the year can I find this type of spirituality.
And we allow something that God offers every day to be stuck to just one week.
And the very times that we come together to create our unity in our cabins, again, become they enslave us
if we're not careful.
But I think the same trap faces us as well as part of this church. We come here every Sunday practicing something that we should be living out each day. And if we're not careful, these walls will enslave us as well.
If we're not careful, our sentimentality will entrap us as well.
And tenure, right? People who have been around a long time and their decisions will become our God, rather than following what God teaches.
This is meant to be a good thing, but if we're not careful, it will be our master. And then, of course, the Holy of Holies, the baptism.
I believe this is absolutely necessary
for salvation. That the Bible teaches us for sure as God's method to wash away our sins. But if we're not careful, we're so caught up in trying to get into the water, we forget trying to get into heaven. And trying to build relationships with the people who will get us there.
It says, do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And offer every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness.
You know, the word offer is a ceremonial word, but also the word instrument is a ceremonial word.
It is a word as in an instrument, as in a candle for worship or the altar as an instrument.
But it also is the same word that the New Testament, the Old Testament uses for weapon.
And in the infinity war, the war for the eternity of our souls, God calls us to be an instrument, a weapon for righteousness. A weapon that can free and liberate.
But if we're not careful, we can be an instrument of wickedness, a weapon of wickedness.
And Satan can use us,
our words, to wound and hurt others. We become like marionettes, puppets.
And our words serve his purpose when they hurt and they cut others without building them up, without serving the purpose of the Lord.
I think our scrutiny, Satan can use that against us. Meant to help us to find and identify bad things, but when it becomes our master, everything is scrutinized without trust, without love.
And the investigation
really serves no purpose other than to destroy. And I think we lay a path that others will follow if we're not careful. And if we're not careful, others will follow us.
But not follow us to success, but follow us to their detriment. It reads later in Romans chapter 6, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
And you may listen to this and think, why does sin have to be this way?
That's just your opinion. Why do you say sin does all these things? Right? But the reason is you work hard for sin. You think about it. Your degrees, the things that can master and enslave.
The pornography that masters your life. The impurity, perhaps. The greed. You work hard for these things, and they only yield death. And why do they yield death?
I tell you, because there is eternity in our hearts. It says this in the scriptures. God has put this eternity there. He is the infinity, and somehow He has made us in His image, and we reflect that infinity.
And what sin attempts to do in our weakness, we are a desert, we are empty. This infinity is void and missing so much.
And sin tries to promise us fulfillment and refreshing. And it tells us this is what it will bring us in the midst of our desert, but this is what it truly gives us.
And at best, it tries to let us know that we can wrestle free from sin, perhaps. But we still are stuck.
It gives us something that doesn't promise, and it may even allow us to unlatch ourselves from these intimidating chains.
And we think we break free, but we only break free because they were fake. And they weren't real.
And we got to question whether our confession or our openness is really the depths of what's going on in our lives. Because we can play the facade of taking off our chains, but still look as equally foolish in God's eyes.
And sin leads to death because it only offers a fraction, at best, an imitation of what God wants to give us. And in our emptiness, only God, only the infinity can fill the eternity in our hearts. Only God can bring us the fulfillment. But we strive still to find our own ways to break free. We find methods and perhaps find ways of breaking out of the chains. Our own methods of freedom. We think,
freedom. I'm free.
But yet, we're still like this.
And continue to make attempts to break free in our own methods, finding our own techniques
and our own systems, but still held back by the chains.
The wages of sin is death.
As we pursue sin, as we pursue even our own efforts, as we pursue religion instead of relationship, it only brings death. It cannot satisfy the way that God satisfies.
The wages of sin is death, but the grace of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
But if we're not careful, grace is our ball and chain as well. Grace, we drag it around thinking that I have the grace of God. Here be grace of God. But if an unopened gift is just another burden, and if we're not careful, we drag around God's grace. We know God's scripture. We are surrounded by people who speak about His grace, who practice His grace, who try to live a righteous life over their sins. And if we don't respond to it, we're just pulling around another burden in our lives that hold us back.
But grace is a gift when we open it up. Grace is a gift when we make a decision to reach in and offer ourselves. The gift of grace is the ability to offer ourselves to God, to give ourselves fully to God, to not merely loosen the chains, but to break the chains. An unopened gift is only a burden. What's the unopened gift in your life? What are the chains that hold you back?
How has grace been present for you, and have you not responded?
We've talked about and mentioned many sins today. What's the one in your life that you need to talk about?
The grace of God is a gift, but we need to decide to open it. We need to decide to apply the things, not merely just attend church, but be a part of the relationships. Not merely just listen to God's word, but put it to practice in our lives and live out the freedom and the gift that it offers. Only then do we find the freedom that God promises. But we have to wrestle. We have to fight. It's not an immediate thing. It takes time. It takes the vulnerability to let people in. It takes the vulnerability to allow God to impact each part of our lives. But when we live out God's grace, we're able to break free of the chain.
It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery.
God has come to bring us great freedom, but we have to make a choice. We have to choose
to open up the gift. What do you have to do? What sins do you need to confess today to live out God's grace.
We have the gift that there's not a single sin that holds us back. There's not a single sin that we have experienced, that we've gone through, that Jesus is afraid of.
There's not a single sin that Jesus cannot free us from.
But we have to choose to respond to that grace. I call us today as a church to respond to that grace. To free ourselves from the chains that hold us back. To take the time and the effort to really, again, to experience the grace for ourselves. If you're here today, it is by no mistake. Whatever it is that burns on your heart that you need to talk about, I encourage you to do it today. You're surrounded by the gifts of God's grace. You're surrounded by the people that He has freed, and they in turn can free you as well. God is able to break every chain. Nothing to fear. For God's love and God's mercy is able to free us from every chain. But the last chain that you have to decide to free yourself from is to open your eyes and believe that God can free you. Amen.
There is power.